Mental Breakdown. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson.
I'm Dr. Richard Marshall.
And Richard, this really only a few people that will be here at 7:20 p.m.
Wow.
We're usually recording at 7 o'clock a.m.
Right.
But it's 7:20 p.m.
Right.
Because we're trying to get our, for your absence, because you're going to be out for about a week or so or more. Or so. And so we're just trying to prepare for that. And so we're doing a couple of podcasts a little bit ahead of time. We did a Paideia podcast earlier today, and now we're going to do this one. But this one's not going to go out until Friday morning.
Yeah,
and then we'll probably be recording another Paideia one. But we figured, even though it's at different times, we figured we'd go ahead and broadcast on Mixlr, just in case, for those people who are at home and want to listen. So that's great. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, I agree too.
I'm wondering if I was at home. Never mind. No, it's another whole topic.
If you were home.
We'll talk about.
Why would you be home at 7:20 in the evening?
That's true. Day's just beginning.
That's right.
Okay. I'm with you.
So today's podcast, what we're going to talk about today, is really a hot topic. And, you know, every time I think about this topic, the topic of spanking, every time
I think
about
this topic,
that's today's topic.
Spanking.
To spank or not to spank? That, my friend, is the question. But every time I think about this topic, it reminds me of that church that we did a workshop at.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just after our book came out back in 2012. But so it was probably 2013. And we got this great phone call from this wonderful woman who asked us to come and do a presentation. It was like a three-hour workshop that we did for some of their congregation, talking about basically what we do, what we talked about in our book. And one of the things that she asked was, she says, everything in the book looks great, but I want to ask you, I read a little bit, you're not going to tell them that they can't spank, are you? And I thought that was such an interesting and fascinating question. You're not going to tell them that they can't spank, are you? Because we feel compelled at times to spank. We feel like that is just, as a parent, that is our obligation. We have the obligation to spank our kids. And I think that, well, hopefully we're going to cover enough of that today so that we can at least begin to shift some of that perspective.
Right. Yeah, there's this notion in some parts of the country and in some religious segments that spanking is almost obligatory.
Right.
Or if not necessary, it's maybe necessary to raise up children. And then we often hear about this thing about, well, I spanked my kid. I was spanked as a child and I turned out okay. So you hear all these arguments in favor of spanking. And it's one of those topics where despite all the evidence, people continue to believe that spanking is, number one, effective, number two, necessary, and number three, maybe an obligation. You know, that if you don't do it, you're somehow missing an opportunity to bring your children up right.
Right, right. And that is, it's certainly a very concerning perspective because, you know, in the very least, what it does is it creates a situation of, we've talked before about parents feeling as though, well, we talked with the, That's What She Said podcast. We talked about sometimes we get into this mode where we feel like we need to say something just to make them hurt, just to make them feel frustration or fear. Feel that frustration and anger. And so, you know, sort of the physical manifestation of that is a spanking.
Right.
You know, if we can't do it with our words, we're going to do it with our hands or a weapon
or
of some sort.
Yeah.
So
some sort of implement.
Right. So let's kind of, one of the things I want to address right from the beginning is that there are many who use scripture to account for spanking. Now, there is certainly There are certainly other passages in the Bible that talk about spanking and different types of punishment and things like that. But the one that's probably the most commonly cited is spare the rod, spoil the child.
Right.
Now, I think the first thing that we'll say, and most people who, you know, most people that know the Bible know that that line really doesn't even exist in the Bible. That line really isn't even in the Bible. That was from a play, or that was from something else that was written elsewhere, and it's attributed to the Bible, but it's not
from the Bible. And yet, you know, I was listening to something on the radio the other day, and whoever was being interviewed, I don't even remember what the topic was, but somebody was being interviewed, and in a very matter-of-fact way, the speaker just simply said, well, and as you know, spare the rod and spoil the child, as though there's this truth to this statement, and he meant it in the biblical sense, as though he was quoting scriptures. But of course, we have this obligation not to spare the rod.
Okay? Right.
And yet, it's not in the Bible.
Right.
And but we should tell the story about how this whole thing came up.
Yeah. You know,
when that Sunday morning when we were writing the book, and we got to that part.
Right. Yeah. It was back in probably 2011, 2012. We were working on the first edition of the book.
Right.
And we got to that, and we were thinking, man, we really need to address this.
We have to talk about spanking. It was a book. We were talking about how to manage children's behavior.
Right.
How to raise emotionally healthy children and how to manage their behavior. And we got to that part and we said, you know, we have to address this issue of spanking at some point in this book.
Right.
So we said, well, let's begin with that, because we live in the South, and this is one of those regions where spanking is advocated, tolerated. Right. So I said, let's just investigate this and learn more about it.
Right.
And we decided to go in to the to Google it.
We started with Googling, and then that led to all kinds of other...
Right. And we learned all kinds of things about this phrase.
Yeah, all kinds of things.
Right.
And it was fascinating, because, as we said, you know, it's that spare the rod, spoil the child, that line is not in the Bible. The closest thing comes from Proverbs, and it's Proverbs 13:24 in the New International Version line is, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him.
Right.
Now,
and what we had to do was figure out exactly what did those words mean.
Right.
So we said, let's go back to the original Greek version.
Right.
Aramaic. Aramaic is not written. It's only spoken.
Right.
I think. So we said, what was the Bible written? What was the Bible written? Was written in Hebrew.
Right.
And it was written in Greek.
Right.
Okay. So we said, can't read Hebrew, so let's go back to the Greek and see what those words really mean.
Right.
What were they in Greece? What did they mean in Greek? And then how were they translated over time?
Right. And so as we were going back, there were two key words that we were interested in.
Right.
We were interested in the word the rod.
Right.
And we were interested in the word discipline.
Right.
Now, what we learned is that rod. Well, at the time that this line was written, of course, many people, especially in that region, were shepherds.
That's right.
And they used a rod, but a rod was just another word for staff.
For a shepherd's staff.
For a shepherd's staff. Mm-hmm. And so one way to interpret spare the rod could be, you know, spare guidance, because the shepherd would use his rod or his staff to guide sheep in the direction and in where he wanted them to go. He didn't hit them with it. He didn't beat them with it. He didn't discipline the way that we're currently talking about discipline.
Right.
Guided them with it.
That's right, because a shepherd's staff was used for two purposes. One was to guide the sheep. You know, he used it to move them in direction. It was also used to protect from predators.
Right.
They didn't have guns and knives. So they used the staff to guide and also to protect from predators. So, yes, if you don't guide and protect your children, you must not think much of them.
Right, right. Now, the other word that, and that one makes sense. The other word was, well, we found it much more interesting. And in fact, this really shifted and has influenced a lot of what we've done since we learned this. And so when we look at the word discipline, when you go back and you look at how it was originally written, The original word that was used was the Greek word paideia.
Right.
And paideia, it does mean to one interpretation is discipline, but the other interpretations is to educate, right, to teach. And we found that fascinating.
Yeah, because we, as college teachers,
right,
we talk about the discipline of political, right, science, or the discipline of psychology, or the discipline of history. They're bodies of knowledge. They're it's what we teach.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if discipline, the way that it was originally used, mm-hmm, was through paideia, and so we should interpret that, or perhaps consider at least interpreting it as to teach. To educate.
Right.
And in fact, this influenced us so much that we named our publishing company paideia.
Right.
And
paideia, which becomes pedagogy,
right,
you know, in Latin, it was to teach.
And it is the same root as pediatrics.
Right.
And so it's all of the roots here are for children and for teaching and for learning and all of that. So when we think about those two alternate definitions,
right,
of a rod and discipline, it would change from he who spares the rods hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. It would change from that to he who spares guidance hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to educate him.
Right. Yeah. The whole meaning changes.
The whole meaning changes.
Right. Just with those two different translations, right, and many linguists argue that that's what those words really were intended to mean.
And that's the other piece that I think influenced us so much is that, you know, when you start to research this, you know, through Google and online and everything, we're not the only ones to come up with this, certainly.
No, we didn't dream this up.
There are lots of people who say that this is really what, mm-hmm, it was meant to say.
Right.
This is what it was, how it should have been translated.
Right.
And so, those of us or those who, out there who use, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child as a rationale.
Justification.
And justification,
right,
for spanking and using that type, mm-hmm, of physical punishment. I think that shifting away from that interpretation of this scripture, I think is a critical first step.
I think we should at least consider it. You know,
right.
I mean clearly the linguistic parts of this are compelling enough for us to at least consider that maybe that's what was being advocated here, is not to hit people with a stick, but rather to educate them and guide them and protect them.
Okay, right.
I think we at least ought to consider that. And it led to a fundamental change in our outlook, or at least a way to express our outlook, which was to replace punishment with teaching.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And that's an underlying theme in our book.
Right.
You know, don't teach. Don't punish. Teach.
Teach, don't punish. Right.
And, mm-hmm, and it's fundamental to this idea of paideia, that,
right,
our job, if we love our children, our job is to educate them.
To educate them. Right.
So with that being said, the reality is that many parents, especially like you said here in the South, many parents use spanking as a frequent method of correction.
It's the go-to method,
right?
You know,
yeah, and it's used very, very quickly, very frequently, and you know, there are those people who talk about they don't go a couple of days without,
yeah,
using spanking of some sort, you know, mm-hmm, loosely defining spanking as, you know, swats and,
right,
we kind of give them lots of different names, whoopings, spankings, pops,
mm-hmm,
those kinds of things. But when you look at and talk to parents, you find that many more parents use that than you would probably have otherwise thought.
Than admit.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It really is a very high percentage of parents.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about, so going in line with the very nice woman that asked us and wanted to ensure that we weren't going to tell them not to spank.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about when spanking is used now and some of the problems with that. And then we'll kind of go into when spanking could possibly be an option. Is that fair?
Okay.
That's the tougher one. But let's talk about...
That we're getting on the thin ice here. But let's go.
Okay, so right now, typically, spanking is used... it's used too frequently, but it's typically used as a way to, as a deterrent. You know, parents mm-hmm. will use spanking with the goal of saying, well, if I spank him, then he'll understand that that behavior is not acceptable and
he'll stop doing it. Right.
And while that's sort of true, the research doesn't really support that.
Right.
Fortunately or unfortunately.
Yeah, it seems like, intuitively, it seems like if you get a spanking, mm-hmm. that you would heed that.
Right.
And you would never do that again.
Right.
But in fact, that's not what happens.
Right.
Okay? What happens is that they do keep doing it. Otherwise, you'd only spank once.
Right. That's always a fascinating discussion to have with mm-hmm. a parent.
Right.
Because they'll say... nothing is working. I spank that kid
no matter how many times, he keeps doing it. Right. No matter how many times I spank it, no matter how hard I hit him, mm-hmm. he keeps doing it.
And it feels...
And you get all scrunched up and say, what does that tell you?
So maybe the spanking's not working? Maybe?
Maybe it's not.
Let's entertain that for just a second.
Let's at least consider the notion mm-hmm. that it's not working.
Yeah.
You know, I always say...
And then they'll say... Well, what else am I supposed to do?
What am I supposed to do?
Yeah. Because I've got to do something.
Right.
And we'll get to that in just a minute. But that's the fundamental issue, mm-hmm. is that if spanking truly was effective,
right.
you would only have to do it one time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But
just the threat of it would hang over.
Exactly. And now, for many of us...
And for some children, once is enough.
And
so I would say, then it was effective. You know, you didn't hurt your child, but there was a very clear message that this intervention
right.
is available. I'm willing to use it. But the child says, I don't want that to happen anymore, so I won't do that.
Right.
Then it was used successfully.
Right.
But if you find yourself spanking repeatedly, then I think we need to at least consider some other options.
Right. And so we'll sort of begin with that idea that... If it's going to be effective, you will know after the first administration mm-hmm. of the consequence. Mm-hmm. There's a very psychological way, psychobehavioral way of saying that.
Right.
But you will know after the first administration if that intervention is effective or not.
Right.
If you're finding yourself having to spank repeatedly, entertain the idea that that's not going to be effective.
Especially for the same transgression.
Right.
You know, if the child keeps repeating the same behavior and you keep spanking and you keep doing it over and over and over, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, the spanking isn't effective. So you have to move to something else.
Right. Now, the other thing that research suggests or tells us is that when spanking is effective, for many of those kids where it's seemingly effective, what we really find out is that the efficacy wears off.
Right.
Or the efficacy is only there when the parent who spanks is present.
Right.
Now, how many people mm-hmm. grew up with mom saying, you know, you just wait until your father gets home?
Because he was the spanker.
He was the spanker. Now, not in my house.
Right.
You can imagine. You met my mom.
I don't even have to guess.
What happens is that when the parent who uses that physical punishment is around, behavior is under much more control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when that person is present.
Right.
Yeah,
in the absence of that person...
All bets are off.
And the research is very consistent with that.
Right, because what's keeping you in line is the threat of the spanking, but the spanker has to be there.
Right.
Okay? And for children, especially young children, out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
If the spanker isn't here, then I can do it.
There's no threat.
Right. When the spanker's present, then I have to be more careful.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's important to make sure that everybody understands that.
Right.
Because when we worked in the schools,
mm-hmm.
you know, we would see kids, and some of the most challenging kids in the school were kids that we knew
right.
were spanked.
Right, that's right.
So spanking didn't change their behavior. And from, you know, psychologically, what we say is that correction is not generalizable.
Mm-hmm.
That the intervention, if we're going to call it that, of spanking is not generalizable. It works in that one setting under those specific circumstances, and that's about it.
Right.
Once that circumstance changes, once that environment changes, the behavior goes back to baseline.
Behavior is going to be demonstrated again. It's going to come out again.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So when we put all of this together, what we see is that many of the times, parents who use spanking repeatedly are using an ineffective ineffective strategy for changing mm-hmm. behavior, and they're typically doing so really with no long-term benefit mm-hmm. because the behavior is going to return as soon as
right.
the threat of the spank is gone. And the way that we present it is that spanking doesn't teach anything.
Right. That's the other issue.
When mm-hmm. you spank a child, you're not teaching them what it is that they are to do or are not to do.
That's right.
Now, oh, go ahead.
No.
A lot of parents will say, oh, well, I talked to him afterwards. Mm. Well, that's great. I mean, that's good. But
right.
it's too late by then.
Right.
You know, usually by then, time has passed. You've mm-hmm. cooled down. The kid's cooled down. And we're trying to get back to normal. And now we're going to dredge it back up again so that we can talk about
That's
it.
That's right. And one of the problems with punishment is that, and it's true for punishment at any age or any type, including a traffic ticket, which is a form of punishment, you know, spanking.
Right.
The goal of spanking is simply to stop a behavior.
Right.
Okay. As we said a few minutes ago, if it's successful in stopping that behavior, okay, then it was used successfully, nobody was hurt, and it worked. Okay. But stopping a behavior is only half the issue because
right.
you have to teach them what to do.
Right.
And that's the other thing we forget, that yes, it's important that they learn not to do this. And frequently parents will say, well, I just want them to know that that's not acceptable. All well and good.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have to teach the positive behavior.
Right.
And when you're relying on spanking and you're not teaching the positive behavior, well, if you're teaching the positive behavior, you may not have to spank.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
that's the other part of this, is that behavior is always in two parts, stopping the negatives, but starting the positives.
Right. And let's be honest about this. When you say, it hurts me more than it hurts you, kids know that's not true.
One of my favorites.
Kids know, look, I mean, I remember, I do remember when I was a kid and I would hear that, I'd be like, whatever. I'm not the one getting hit.
That's right.
You know? I mentioned that because many parents feel that way. They feel like this is hard for me to do, and that I don't know if we're trying to get sympathy from the kid.
No, but I love that idea because you know intuitively that there's something wrong with this.
Right.
When you say, this hurts me more, think about what you're saying. You
right.
know, you're acknowledging that you suspect that there's something wrong with this.
Right.
Okay? Listen to your own voice. Listen to that.
Right.
You're sort of saying, I don't like doing this.
Right.
Okay, well, if you don't like doing it,
don't do it.
Then don't do it.
Yeah.
We'll be science and psychology and pediatric, we're all behind you on that one.
Right.
Don't do it.
Right. So we're using an ineffective strategy.
Right.
We're not teaching anything.
Number two.
Right. And the third piece is that we're teaching kids, and a lot of people have heard this, and a lot of people foo-foo this,
mm-hmm.
but we're teaching kids that you deal with frustration with physical responses.
Or if you want somebody to change,
right.
you use a physical approach.
Right.
Okay. We are also teaching that because we model
right.
for our children.
Absolutely.
And they're going to imitate what we model.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, you know, it's we've seen this meme or this in movies and stuff like that where, you know, the kid's getting the spanking and while the parent is spanking the kid, they say, we don't hit, you know, don't you hit.
And it,
as they're hitting the kid. And it's like, I don't, it's,
right.
that's so confusing. It's confusing for me as a viewer. Right. I can only imagine what it is for this poor Stop kid who's sister. Trying to figure it out. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So we need to teach our kids better strategies mm-hmm. for dealing with situations where people aren't being compliant with what we want them to do right. Or not following a direction that we give them or something mm-hmm. like that. We have to, again, teach our kids right. how to handle those situations. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not surprising that in preschool and kindergarten, that's when kids hit other kids mm-hmm. for taking things that they're not supposed to take. Well, where do you think that they learned that behavior?
Right. Didn't learn. Right.
You know, as soon as they go home and they try to pick up something they're not supposed to have and the parent slaps their hand,
right.
well, that is exactly the strategy they're going to use the next day when some other kid comes and tries to take something of theirs.
Right. Yep. They do what they see. They do what we do.
Right. So for all of these reasons, spanking really isn't a valid strategy for managing kids' behavior. It's certainly not going to be consistent enough, not universally, for managing kids' behavior. And it certainly isn't a long-term strategy. I mean, we know of people who are still spanking their 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old kids. A number of years ago, there was that video mm-hmm. that of that Texas yeah. judge who mm-hmm. was spanking his, like, 15 or 16-year-old right. daughter. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's like there's not even words for that. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how to understand that because it doesn't make any intuitive sense at all.
No.
Spanking at that age is just clearly you're not doing things that you need to do to manage the behavior.
Yeah, just a spanking after a certain age, we should just say you can't do it.
Right.
I mean, yeah. No, you can't. I mean, and that age is very, we're down into single digit ages when you just have to say, if you're going to spank your child, you better do it before age.
Yeah. Well, we're really even before school age.
Before school age. You better have this done before age five. If you haven't accomplished this before age five, you can't keep spanking children
right.
after that. There are other better ways to do this. I wish we could draw a hard line in the sand and say, anybody over five shouldn't be spanked.
Right. That's hard to do.
I know.
So let's talk about other strategies. Because what parents want, or maybe that's not the exact next spot, but what parents want is, and the reason that we go to spanking so easily mm-hmm. is because, really it's because of us. We're frustrated,
right?
And we can't say to our kid what we want to say because we don't want them to hear those words.
Right.
So we have to find something, some way to demonstrate our frustration and our, let's be honest, our anger
right.
with what the kid is doing.
Right.
And so we search for something and, you know, what do we say when kids hit? We say they're using a more primitive form of communication.
That's right.
To express their frustration.
Right.
Could it be extended to say that when parents spank, they're using a more primitive form of communication to express their frustration? Yeah.
Typically, when we run out of words, we resort to more physical means.
Right.
We run out of allowable words. Then we run through all of our curse words, and when we run out of curse, then we go to more primitive yet, which is physical.
Right.
You know. So yeah, there is that too.
Right. So
it's a more primitive form of communication, discipline, whatever you want to call it.
Right. And despite what most parents say, at the time, mm-hmm. it's a frustration relief for them as well.
It is.
They mm-hmm. You know, parents talk about, they feel better.
I've done something.
Because they feel like they've done something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so we need to begin by shifting to say, okay, if you need to do something mm-hmm. about this behavior,
right.
what is the more appropriate thing to do?
Right.
Because we don't need to hurt our kids to get them to follow directions or get them to do what we need them to do.
Right.
That pain doesn't have to accompany compliance.
Right.
We can get compliance without physical means.
Pain. Right. Either to get them to stop doing something or to do something. It doesn't require physical pain.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And it doesn't require emotional pain either.
Right.
You know, it requires strategy,
mm-hmm.
and it requires a sane mind.
Right.
But other than that, it doesn't require any other detrimental aspects.
Right.
So, but parents feel like they have to do something. And so let's talk a little bit about some of those other things that can be done.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we don't really like punishment. Let me rephrase that. I don't like the idea of punishing kids to change their behavior, whether it's spanking or not.
Right.
Most kids, and we've said this before, most kids want to behave.
Mm-hmm.
Most kids want to be compliant. They want to follow rules. Right. They don't want to get in trouble.
Right.
Why would a kid want to get in trouble?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we say this to parents all the time, but, you know, they say, oh, he does this over and over and over again. I don't know why he just keeps on choosing to do this. He keeps on making these decisions. And you ask them, you know, you go through all the good appropriate questions, and of course you find it never fails. You find out that the kid gets in trouble every time, and it gets in trouble every time, but it doesn't change the behavior. He gets punished every time, but it doesn't change the behavior. And so the question that you have to ask is, well, does the kid like to get in trouble?
Right.
And the parents always say, no, he hates it.
Wow.
Then why would we assume that he's doing it intentionally?
Right.
Clearly, there's a missing skill here.
Right. Yeah, it feels personal. It feels like they're being defiant. But that's our attribution.
Which is why we want to punish so forcefully.
Right.
Because we feel like this is intentional. He's really just trying to take me off.
He's just trying to get... That's right. He's just trying to make me mad. He's being disobedient. He's just being defiant. And I got to knock the defiance and the disobedience. No. That's an attribution that you're making. Your child is just trying to get his needs met.
Right.
He's trying to get something. It probably has very little to do with us.
Right.
You know, they're trying to get their own needs met. So they behave in a certain way. So, but once we attribute their behavior to defiance or a disobedience, now it becomes a whole other issue. And that's what makes parents angry. It's not the behavior, it's the attribution that you make when you say he had intent. He intended to be disobedient. He intended, probably not.
Right.
I mean, he's just behaving to get his needs met. So that's what you should be dealing with.
Right.
Not your attribution.
Yeah, you really have to shift that perspective, because that perspective is really, like you said, what leads
that's
you
what
down
throws
the path.
You. Right.
Of, okay, I got to do something to get this guy.
And I can't emphasize that enough, that I think when a parent, any parent, has the urge to hit a child, or hit anybody, but particularly a child, I think it's because of the attribution that you're making.
Right.
I think it's because you have decided that this child is disobedient, and this is how you're going to deal with disobedience. By golly, I'm going to show you that you can't be disobedient. Well, maybe we shouldn't make that attribution. Let's just think of what the child is doing, not what I think the child intends by that behavior. Because I think that's what gets us into trouble, is our attribution.
Right, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So when we're looking to apply consequences, and that's, you know, spanking is a consequence.
Spanking is a consequence.
Right.
Right.
Let's first say that consequences don't have to be punitive.
A
consequence is a consequence.
You know, they don't have to hurt. They don't have to, you know, they don't have to hurt.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And because they don't have to hurt, it gives us a little bit more flexibility when we shift it away from the idea that it has to be discomforting. It has to be. It has to be distressing.
Yeah,
in
parents
some way.
Will ask us, you know, how can I punish? Like you and I have a box or a black bag full of really neat punishments you've never thought of before.
We keep them in the dungeon.
We don't have a little black bag of punishments that you've never used before, okay? Because that's not what we're doing. That's not what we want to give to you. So, yeah, let's move away from that idea of how can I punish him successfully?
Right. So instead, you know, let's think about what type of consequences are appropriate in the various situations that you may find yourself in. And it's, you know, it's not like I'm going to say, oh, well, in this situation, here's the consequence that you get. And here's the, you know, we'd be here forever. And then,
behavior A, you use consequence A2.
Right.
For behavior B, you use B1.
Right. Yeah. It sounds like Battleship.
Yeah.
But there's a few underlying principles that you should follow when you're trying to come up with a strategy or how you're going to manage behavior. The first thing is, and this is the one that I think will really set you off into the right direction, and that is the punishment should be, or the consequence should be, naturally occurring.
Right.
Now, parents often look at me sideways when I say that. Well, what do you mean? It's a natural thing to spank my kid.
Right.
That's not what I'm talking about. Naturally occurring consequence is a consequence that is relevant to what is happening.
Right.
So just the basic simple example is if you want your kid to do his homework and he's playing video games instead and he won't get off the video games to do his homework, well, the naturally occurring consequences isn't a spanking. It's not being grounded for 2 weeks. It's
right.
I'm going to take the Xbox away until you get your homework done.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Easy. It really is as easy as that. The natural consequence is the Xbox is what's in the way of him doing what I'm asking him to do. Right. So mm-hmm. I'm going to remove that obstacle.
Take the Xbox.
And now he can do his homework.
His homework.
Now, if he chooses not to do his homework now because he's going to be on the phone, mm-hmm. the next natural consequence is now I'm going to take the phone. Now, again, if parents work from the and attribute this behavior to he's just being intentionally defiant, and he's doing it just to push my buttons and just to get me going, well, you're going to respond in a much more aggressive and frustrating way. And it's going to be much more difficult for you to identify those naturally occurring consequences. But let's be honest. Let's really look at it. What are you going to do to force him to do his homework?
Right.
You may not be able to force him to do his homework. Mm-hmm. Now, you can remove all of the obstacles that are getting in his way, but you could empty out his room, you could turn the electricity off to the house, and you could get rid of all handheld devices, and he still may not do his homework.
Still not going to do it. Right.
And there's nothing you can do.
Yep.
So let's resist that urge to say, I really have to emphasize my point here, and I got to do something strong to help him understand how serious I am about it.
Because you're right. If a kid really doesn't want to do his homework, there probably is nothing we can do about it.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I'm sorry.
And even a spanking, because again, these are the situations. I spank him, and he still won't do his homework. Well, you know.
Yeah, I know. We took all of his toys away too, and he still won't do his homework.
Right, and so it's not a personal thing. It's not like he's sitting there thinking, well, you know what? She wants me to do my homework so bad, I'm going to show her. I'm not going to do it. You know.
But that's the attribution. That's the mistake we make as parents. He's just being defiant. He's defying me because he won't do his homework.
Right.
That's defiance. No, probably not.
Right.
It's probably just that he doesn't want to do his homework.
Right. You know, and so many parents fall into the trap of finding a consequence that is effective.
Right.
And sticking with it even when it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, because parenting should be thoughtful. You know, spanking is not thoughtful.
Right.
Spanking is the absence of being mindful about what your children need and how you're going to deal with them. Whatever you do with your children, we want you to be thoughtful about it. And consequences included. You know,
right.
When you come up with a consequence, make sure you've thought it through. Make sure it's carefully done, carefully thought out. Think of what's going to happen when you do this consequence, but make sure it's mindful. Make sure it's thoughtful.
Right. Because The otherwise it's just reactionary.
It's reaction, right? And it's usually done out of frustration,
right?
Right.
Well, we won't go back into that, but that's another issue that we didn't really touch on too much with spanking is that usually parents spank harder than they intend to, especially if they use a tool or an implement.
Right.
And they usually spank harder than they intend to and longer.
And harder than they realize.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And so it's problematic because there's emotion involved.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. But back to the consequence. So the first thing is that the consequence should be naturally occurring. If he's not doing something because he's playing his video games, he's not doing his homework, it doesn't make sense to say, okay, that's it, you're not going to ride your bike tomorrow. Right. What does that have to do with anything? Mm-hmm. So you have to be cautious that you don't start applying consequences that don't make sense and that aren't connected.
That aren't related to the behavior.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That was always a challenge when I was growing up because the place that we got in trouble the most was at church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would have to sit in the adult congregation.
Yeah, no children's church.
Right. And it was really challenging because, you know, we have to sit there and be quiet and, you know, and Uncle Michael was a preacher and, man, he would just keep going sometimes. And I was like, come on, man, I'm hungry. And
where's the fried chicken?
I don't know if he listens to the podcast, but love you, Uncle Mike. But it was tough because, you know, you're trying to pay attention to some extent, but you know you only have so much capacity to attend.
It's attention is correlated with chronological age, so you were probably what, about 8?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have 8 minutes worth of attention. Uncle Michael went longer than 8 minutes, I'll bet.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. And then what would happen is you know we would get in trouble.
Yeah.
And we would be told you know wait until you get home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we would get home 2 hours later.
Which is not the scene of the crime.
Right. We would get home 2 hours later,
right.
And I'm thinking, I'm getting a spanking right now, and I have no idea what I did. So part two, for the first part is it has to be naturally occurring.
Right.
The second part is that it needs to be within a time frame consistent with the offense.
Close to the behavior. The consequence should be close to the behavior.
Right.
Wait till your dad gets home.
Right.
You know, it's 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Dad's not going to be home until, you know, another
day. Exactly. So it's so imperative. And we keep slipping up and using the word punishment. But the reason that we're using the word punishment isn't because we're thinking about punishing. Yeah. Punishment is a psychological term for using something to decrease the likelihood of a behavior to happen again.
Right.
It's not necessarily spanking or any type of negative thing that you're doing to the person. It's just doing something to decrease the likelihood of the behavior happening again.
Right. But I think that when you talk, as long as we're on consequences, I think the important thing about consequences, and I think you said this, consequences should teach something.
Right.
I mean, they shouldn't just be to hurt or to punish, okay? Consequences should teach something.
Right.
And spanking, at least repeated spanking, isn't teaching anything.
Right.
You know, that single spanking that works. You know, like for parents who can say, if you don't stop, you're going to get a spanking. And if it stops, then whatever spanking they did was successful.
Right.
Because it works with that child. But if you're repeatedly spanking, I would say that it's probably time to consider something else.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that, you know, it ties into the other challenge with trying to use spanking as a tool, because when we talk about the proximity of the consequence with the behavior, you can't always spank when the behavior happens.
That's right. If you're riding in a car.
Right. When you're riding in a car, when you're in Publix.
Right, or you're in a public grocery store, right?
Yeah, you can't apply a consequence such as spanking in those. I mean, some people do.
Not in today's.
Right. Not without phone calls.
No.
But so if you want a behavior to change, the consequence surrounding that behavior has to happen quickly.
You have to be able to use it everywhere.
And it has to be generalizable.
Right.
You have to be able to use it in the areas where where the behavior happens.
Right.
And sometimes that just can't happen.
Mm. Right.
Yeah. And what happens in whether it's spanking or it's any other consequence, if those two things aren't tied together,
right,
the behavior is not going to change.
Right. Right. And that's another huge problem with spanking or hitting kids is that you can't do it in public.
Right.
Okay. Or you can try, but you're probably going to get in trouble.
And that's why kids tend to misbehave at grandma's right. house.
Yeah, because they know nothing's going to happen.
They know that
the intervention can't be used.
Right.
Right.
And so, man, and I know that I did. But, you know, there are those kids who just push it and push it and push mm-hmm. it when they're at their grandparents' house. They'll just keep pushing. It's like, what are you doing, man? You are going to really get in trouble. Mm-hmm. And they just keep pushing and pushing because they know nothing can happen there. Right.
And they're not thinking about 2 hours from now
right.
because kids don't think about two
yeah.
hours from now.
They don't think about the right fact now. That grandma goes to sleep when the sun goes down. And
right.
that's when all the witches come out. Because
witches things, with their switches.
That's when we're really going to get it, man. So we have to apply that right. immediate. So like when we talk about timeout, mm-hmm. you know, timeout is a great strategy, but you have to be willing to use it when the behavior occurs.
Right.
So that means, as I did when my son was real small, that means when we're walking around Publix and or the grocery store and he's not doing what he's supposed to do, I clear off that bottom shelf and he sits right there next to the flour on the bottom shelf in timeout.
He does?
Yeah.
You did that?
I did. Once. Only had to do it once. And he didn't like it. And so I said, well, then the behavior changed.
Lesson learned.
Right.
Okay.
I didn't have to spank. I didn't have to threaten. I didn't have to do anything.
You don't.
You know that that's timeout. You know that you're not supposed to do that.
Right.
Here's timeout. And he realizes, oh my goodness, that happens here at the store as well.
Which brings me to another point. We frequently, I mean daily, we hear people say, that child, you know, that child needs a good butt whooping. That child right. needs a good spanking. If that child had been spanked, that wouldn't be happening.
Right.
Okay, we hear that all the time. I don't really think that's what people mean. I hope they don't mean it. I think what they mean is, rather than saying that child needs a good, those parents haven't found an effective way
right.
to manage that child's behavior.
Right.
Whether they spank or not is not the issue. The parents haven't found an effective way to manage that child's behavior.
Right.
Because it would go way beyond spanking.
Right.
Because they might be spanking right now, and it's still not working. So we're talking about a larger issue than a single disciplinary approach.
Right. Mm-hmm. And again, if we really analyze the data, mm-hmm. when you see those kids who really are misbehaving...
Right.
The vast majority of the time, those kids are spanked.
Kids who are spanked tend to have problems later on that probably could have been avoided
right.
if they hadn't been spanked. And the more severe the spankings, the more severe the problems.
Right. And it's not surprising. We see all these videos of these middle and high school kids acting out in school, throwing desks and mm-hmm. all those kind of things. And all these people on Facebook and everywhere else says, well, you know what? If that was my kid, that would never happen. It probably wouldn't because your parenting style is different and whatnot. But to assume that those kids aren't being disciplined, right. aren't being punished, I think is very naive.
Right.
9 times out of 10, those kids are being punished.
They are.
But the punisher isn't present.
And I think you would find that in any given school setting, the kids who are most severely disturbed, who are the most disruptive, probably have been spanked and maybe spanked severely.
Right.
Okay. It's yeah. not because we're not spanking that we have these problems.
Right. And it really, you know, a great example of this is speeding. Mm-hmm. You know, no, none of us speed when the cops are around.
Right. That's right.
We speed when we don't see cops.
Right.
And we speed when we don't see cops because we know that the likelihood of being caught is small.
Right.
Kids who are spanked oftentimes misbehave when the cop isn't around mm-hmm. because they know that the probability of being caught is very small.
That's a good example. Yeah.
So it's not surprising when we mm-hmm. see this relationship between spanking and acting out behavior in right. other settings.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, when it comes to the consequences, we have to make sure that the consequences, and that's the third thing, is that the consequences are generalizable. That's going to change the behavior in multiple settings. Mm-hmm. This is why we don't do this behavior.
Right.
This is why we don't act like that. This is why we make those decisions.
Right.
And when we educate our kids, whether it's how to behave or why we clean up the living room, why do we pick up our toys in the living room? Well, do we do it to avoid a spanking? Or do we do it because mom or dad's going to scream at us if we don't? Or do we do it because we're learning that if we don't pick up our toys, somebody's going to step on it and it's going to break it?
Right. Or you do it because that's what you're expected to do. That's
right.
What we do in this house.
Right.
We pick things up after we use them. We don't leave stuff lying about. But we learn that not through spankings. We learn that by doing it every day.
Right.
By teaching our children every day we do the same thing. And eventually they'll learn that.
And the key part to teaching is saying it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to say the words.
Right, right.
Well, how many times do parents complain that their kids ask the question, why?
Right.
You say, well, it doesn't matter why, just because I said so. Well, if you tell them why, they won't ask why anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because now they know.
Right.
And sometimes it's really challenging to teach
we
parents
should talk
that.
About that some podcast. Yeah. Why?
Why?
Why do I have to do it? Yeah.
I got to think of a good movie quote for why. I'll get one. Just wait.
No, I like this topic. I'm glad we finally opened this one up for broader discussion because I can hear people saying, no, I'm going to spank my child. I was spanked and it did me good and it did me a lot. And you may be right, but I'll bet you were spanked early.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it was effective for you.
Well, and the other side of that is a lot of us were spanked.
Mm-hmm.
But the question that I think that we fail to ask is, did you have to be spanked?
Did you have to be? Right. Was it necessary?
And the answer typically to that is no.
I'm guessing that most of us didn't have to be spanked.
We didn't have
to. At least 80% of us probably would have responded to whatever our parents did.
Right.
We responded to spanking. We would have probably responded to anything they tried with us.
Right. I received a lot of spankings when I was growing up. Could you imagine?
I'm not surprised.
But you know what would have really done it for me is if I wouldn't have been able to go outside and play.
Right.
That's what really would have
been just as powerful.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it would have been just as frustrating and that would have changed behavior.
I mouthed off to my mother one time. I was in high school, and I missed some dance that I really wanted to go to. She was very calm about it. She said, okay, well, that takes care of Friday. She didn't realize that it was an important, it didn't matter, and she didn't back down. And I thought, okay, never going to do that again.
Yeah.
She didn't have to hit me. She didn't have to spank me. I got the message
loud
and clear.
Right. Mm-hmm. So when you're thinking about spanking, when that strategy comes to mind that this is what I'm going to use.
Yeah, when you're tempted to do it.
When you're tempted to do it, think about what your goal is.
Mm-hmm.
If your goal is to change the behavior,
right.
Try to identify a more appropriate, naturally occurring consequence that you can use the next time that same behavior happens,
right.
No matter where it happens and where or when it happens. Make sure that you're not punishing out of frustration and anger.
When you're tempted to spank, don't.
Right.
I mean, that would be the worst time. When you really have the urge to hit, don't.
Right.
Okay. Step back, step away. Rethink this whole thing. Okay.
Right.
You're not going to do any permanent damage by not hitting. Okay. You might do some if you start hitting. But when you're tempted to, that's a good time not to.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So, then consider the naturally occurring consequences, those generalizable consequences that you can apply immediately no matter where you are. And again, try to educate. Teach them. And I'm not talking about spanking them and then telling them why you spanked them. That's not teaching. That's justifying.
Right.
You want to teach by saying, this is why I have this expectation.
Right.
So few kids hear that.
Mm-hmm.
So few kids have the opportunity to hear, this is why I want you to do this or why I want you to do that. And it really, really is the key to healthy parenting
right.
and the key to raising an emotionally healthy child.
That's right. That's right.
So, yeah. Anything else?
No. Just be mindful of what your children are doing and what you're going to do in response to them. Think about it. Think it through. Okay? Be mindful.
Right, mm-hmm. right. So, all right. Well, that wraps it up for today. There's going to be show links or links in the show notes about to our book on Kindle.
Right.
And make sure that you check those out, because we do talk about all of that, stuff mm-hmm. in the book. The introduction section especially, we talk a lot about behavioral modification and sort of the limits with corporal punishment and some of that stuff. We talk a lot about
that. How to change behavior without hitting, without spanking, without screaming and yelling.
Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. Because all of those things, it just leads to more frustration on everybody's part, you know? Yep. I mean, then it just creates problems. Mm-hmm. So check out that book. That's the Handbook for Raising an Emotionally Healthy Child, Part 1, Behavior Management. It's available on Kindle. And let's see. You're going to be out for a week.
I am. What's today? Wednesday?
Yeah. Or so.
So
we'll be recording a couple more podcasts in the next couple of days. So, you know, who knows? Just keep your eye out on Twitter or however it is that you hear about it, because we're going to put all of them on Mixlr so that people who want to listen live will be able to do that. Anything else?
No, I think that'll do it. Today's Wednesday. Again?
I think so. I think
it's so strange doing this at night.
It's not midnight yet. Okay. So we're still...
All right.
Then, until next time, I'm Dr. Bernie.
I'm Dr. Richard.
Have a terrific week. Have a great last day of school tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
And forget to be afraid.